17th Sunday after Pentecost is Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw: O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. The psalm this morning is Psalm 37, verses 1 through 9, and we shall read this together. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the new day. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. The second lesson this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. This ends the reading. Thank you.
according to Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you rather not say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have only done what we ought to have done.'" Here ends it. Rudy.
Praise you, Christ.
All right, you may be seated. I now invite the kids up. Front. If there's any. Good morning. How are you doing?
You're good.
Can you go get? Can you go get what we brought this morning? Do you guys know what this is? Yeah, it's not just the tower. It's, what is it? It's the
lookout tower.
It's the lookout tower. It's where all the Paw Patrol live, right? That's where their headquarters is. You've got Rocky with you. That's awesome.
Mighty Pup Rocky.
Oh, Mighty Pup Rocky. That's awesome. He even lights up. Yeah. So did you guys hear what Jesus said this morning? He said that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, that you... Do you know what a mustard seed is?
No.
It's something that's really small. I was going to pretend to have one, because you can't even see it. Like, if I was holding it right now, it's so small, a mustard seed. But I was going to pretend and say, I have one right here. Can you see it? No, you can't. That's how small a mustard seed is. So Jesus tells us, if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can say to a mulberry tree, do you know what a mulberry tree is? It's a really, really big tree. He says,
"Oh, I know what it is."
You know what it is? Oh, did you? That's awesome. So Jesus says that if we say to the tree, if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, so really small, that we can say to that mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea." So do you guys think we can try and do that with the lookout? So we're going to tell the lookout to be uprooted and planted in the sea, okay? Ready? We're going to do it on the count of three all together, okay? Ready? One, two, three. Ready? Say, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea." Did it move? Do you think? So, do you think Jesus? So that means we don't have the faith the size of a mustard seed. We don't even have small faith. Do you think Jesus is talking about really moving a tree, or do you think he's kind of using that as an example? Yeah, it's kind of an example, right? So do you remember Pastor Kate last week, I think it was, she was reading from those Thriving shirts. Do you remember what any of those said on the tag that you could do to be nice to people?
Yeah.
Live generously is what it said on the front. And then do you remember what the little tags that came up, like, do you remember those little cards that they said?
A lion said, "Invite a new friend to lunch."
Yeah, invite a new friend to lunch. Does anyone else remember what theirs said? What did yours say? Help a friend with homework. What about you, Liam? You don't remember? That's okay. Luke, do you remember? You don't remember either? That's okay. So maybe with invite a friend to lunch, that's what yours was, right, Ben? So maybe we can move. What was that?
Invite a friend over to a play date
at your house. That's awesome, too. So by inviting a friend or helping a friend with homework, maybe we're taking away the mulberry tree that is like loneliness. So maybe they feel alone. And so our friendship, we can move that mulberry tree. So when Jesus is talking about moving a mulberry tree, he doesn't mean a real, or at least the way that I interpret it is, he's not talking about a real tree. He's talking about we can move these obstacles from people's lives, right? We can move loneliness. We can remove doubt or hopelessness from people's lives. We can be a mighty, like the Mighty Pups, right? They help people. We can do that too, right? The Mighty Pups, they help move the mulberry trees. So,
oh, I know. We're gonna even go to giant a wheel.
Who?
The one that
Oh, the one that can swing really here?
Yeah.
So let's remember that when Jesus is telling us this, it's helping people out, right? So we can move mulberry trees. So maybe a friend's going through a hard time. You got another one? Yep, Dusty helps people too, right? Yeah, so we can be like these superheroes. It doesn't take a superhero to help a friend, right?
Or a mighty pup.
It doesn't take a mighty pup. We're capable. That's what Jesus is telling us this morning, is we're capable. We're enough. So we don't need to be a superhero or a mighty pup. We can do it because Jesus is there with us, right? Okay. Yeah, Luke and Jack did an awesome job decorating that, and they gave it to us because they kind of outgrew it. All right, so we're going to go ahead. Okay, we're going to go ahead and pray now, okay? Dear God, thank you for reminding us that we don't need to be a mighty pup or a superhero or a flying cool plane, that we are enough through you, Lord, and that we have the faith needed to serve our neighbors and to help remove those mulberry trees or those obstacles from their life. Amen. Thanks for coming up with me, guys. I appreciate it. Can you go put that back for me, Ben? You like that? It's pretty cool, isn't it? Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning, the disciples are asking Jesus to give them more faith. A simple question and a rather straightforward question. And I think it's one that we can relate to, right? So why do we want more faith? We read this morning, if we have the faith of a mustard seed, which is super small, as I was telling the kids, we can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Similar to what we find in Matthew 17:20, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. When I was getting ready this morning, it reminded me of when I went to Colorado when I was in high school. We went to the Rocky Mountains on a Boy Scout adventure trip. And the story of moving a mountain rang through my head that entire time. And I remember I took this quite literally, and I remember trying to move that mountain. Some might say I was trying to use the force to move that mountain. But no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't move that mountain. And you know what? The Rocky Mountains are still in that same place to this day. And it's not because I put them back. When I was trying so hard, they didn't budge. A lot of questions started to run through my mind. I first thought, how small must my faith have been? Or I also wondered, was Jesus lying? I don't think that Jesus was lying, but it must have been something I was doing wrong. In preparing for this sermon this week, another question that came up was, what would it look like if we could all move mountains with that small amount of faith? I think about how crazy and hectic our world would be and how much different it would look. But also, what good would it be for us to move those mountains or mulberry trees? But what if there's a different type of mountain or mulberry tree? In our life, we face obstacles of every kind. They may not be the Rockies or giant shrubs or trees, but it could be divorce, financial strains, or depression. So what type of mountains have you moved in your life? I personally prefer to say mulberry tree because I can look at my life and think there are no mountains that I've moved. When I think of moving a mountain, I think of some big, grand gesture that I can't measure up to. But a mulberry tree, Now that's something I might be able to do. You may have moved a mulberry tree just by brightening someone's day and saying hi or visiting a neighbor. Earlier this week, Jenny and I celebrated 8 years of marriage. And of course, if you get married in Iowa, you're obligated to take a wedding picture in a field of some sort. But we were reflecting on how the past year's been for us and for our marriage. We've had a lot of changes and a lot of obstacles. One of those obstacles that we were wrestling with is this call and how we would pursue it. Would I go to school part-time or full-time? Would we move? What would Jenny do? What would the kids do? This wouldn't just be me starting seminary, but my family as well. And they would be going through the transition with me. Jenny would become a pastor's wife, and the kids all of a sudden would become PKs, or also known as pastor's kids. And you couldn't see it, but Jenny was just kind of rolling her eyes a little bit, giving me a look at becoming a pastor's wife, so you can tell how excited she was during that decision. Once we accepted the call to pursue ministry and decided to leave, we needed to deal with the mulberry tree that was our house, our possessions, and our relationships. When we were getting prepared to leave Iowa, our basement was my mountain, and I'll show you our basement. It's not a great picture, but you also can't tell because we took out walls, and me and my friends just took out the walls and the wiring without really checking ahead of time, so there's not very many lights that work, but our basement was kind of in rough shape. But in order for us to move, this needed to be finished, and this sat unfinished for 6 years, and we got it done in about a month, preparing to come here. But this was my mountain, and I know we kept thinking this basement was never going to get done. But we clung to that faith, that small faith of the mustard seed, and that's all we had. And thankfully, we were able to turn it into that and get our house sold. It looks a lot better. But it was a good reminder that God is with us in those obstacles, or as we would say, Emmanuel, God with us. Jumping back to the apostles, though, why are they asking the Lord to increase their faith if all they needed was a mustard seed? Could the answer be in front of us? When we look at Habakkuk, we read, "How long shall I cry for your help? I cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise, so the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted." Does this sound familiar? I could have read it this morning on a blog post on my way to church, but yet it was written over 3,000 years ago. So why do we ask the Lord to increase our faith? Do we want Jesus to increase our faith for personal gain? Do we want to move those mountains? Do we want the power that comes with that? When looking at the world around us, with all the violence, wrongdoing, and trouble going on in the world, it can seem like the whole world is covered in mountains of work to be done. So why do we ask Jesus to increase our faith? Maybe we need Jesus to increase our faith so that we can stretch our ministry legs, so we can move that mulberry bush. It could be moving that mulberry bush of loneliness by visiting a neighbor, volunteering with CRCC and removing the mulberry bush of hunger, or sharing our faith and removing the obstacle of hopelessness for those that don't know the hope of Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago when I preached, I asked, what kind of mindset do we have as a church and as individual people? Do we have an abundance or scarcity mindset? It can be easy to have a scarcity mindset and see all the bad in the world in places where we are inadequate to do anything. If only I had more money, more time, more of this or that. If only I had more faith. It can be harder to have the abundance mindset, but Jesus says if we have the faith of a mustard seed, which is super tiny, we can move mountains. I really want to help my neighbor, but I can't because I don't have enough. What if instead we use what we have? Instead of worrying about what we don't have, focus on God's blessing. We are enough through Christ We are enough to stop by our neighbor's house who is grieving and sit with them and hear their story. We are enough to provide encouragement to a coworker or a classmate who is feeling down or stressed. We are enough to help move mountains or mulberry trees in people's lives. Faith is not dependent on age, knowledge, or seminary training. It is dependent upon the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. When we are asking for more faith, we are asking God to show up in our lives through the Holy Spirit. So I ask you again, why do we want our faith increased? Will it be for personal gain, prestige, riches, or fame? Or is it because we want to make a difference in someone's life and we want to increase our faith so that we can move those mulberry trees for those around us and share Jesus' love? Amen.